As Pastor Tom said, the reading today is from Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16, which can be found on page 1875 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Matt. Friends in Christ, during the summer months, we celebrate three of the federal or the national holidays that we have, several of them that we have, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day. And for each of those holidays, you might say that we celebrate America with parties and parades and barbecues, fireworks, things like that. And certainly we have a lot to celebrate and a lot to be thankful for living in America. Certainly as Christians, we are thankful for the freedoms of religion that we have, but also for this beautiful land from sea to shining sea, and all the material blessings that God has given to us. And you know, when you go to another country, let's say on a mission trip, and you see the little that some of these people have, and you realize that the things that we call necessities, things that we say we need to live, are mere luxuries to these people. In fact, a lot of the things that we have, they dream about and probably would never be able to get in their lifetimes. We certainly are blessed by God to be living in the United States of America. And yet, as good as we have it here in the United States, and as great as this country might be, as Christians, we need to be reminded that this is not our homeland. This is not where we are going to be forever. We cannot create heaven on earth, at least not on the earth that we know it today. Now, in our passage, the passage that Matt read, we see the heroes of faith who were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. We see that they called themselves aliens in the places where they lived. We see that they called themselves pilgrims, that they were just passing through this world, so to speak. And we see that they were longing for a better country, for a heavenly one. Well, what does God have to say to us this morning in these verses, in longing for heaven? What does he mean by that, and what good is that for us? Well, I'd like to look at this passage with you this morning by focusing on three key words. The first is alien, or stranger. And the second is pilgrim, and that comes from the King James Version. Hebrews 11, verse 13 in the King James says, "And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth." And then the third word is longing. So aliens, pilgrims, and longing. Well, let's see what God has to say to us this morning. We read that the heroes of faith call themselves aliens or strangers in this world. Now, a foreigner and an alien is defined as a person whose citizenship and loyalty is different from the country that they're currently in. If you or I were to go to Europe, and let's say go to France, we might feel like we don't belong there. We're different because maybe we don't speak the language, or maybe we don't eat the same types of foods that they eat, but we might feel like a stranger there. And you know, in the Old Testament time, people who were strangers or foreigners in the Israelite camp not only had to deal with being feeling different, but they were treated differently as well. In fact, God had to tell the Israelites, you know, remember, you were strangers, you were foreigners in Egypt, and I rescued you from there, so treat those who are foreigners amongst you good. In Leviticus 19, verse 34, we read, "The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt." Well, what makes a person feel like a foreigner or an alien in another country? Well, one of the things I think is the language. If certainly I know for myself because I don't speak French, but if I go to Paris, I feel out of place because I don't speak the language, and I see signs and I hear people speaking, I have no idea what they're saying. But even, you know, if you go to a country where they speak English, like the UK or Australia, it's still somewhat different. You know, there's the accent that's different. But even the terms are different. You know, in the UK, they don't go on vacation, they go on holiday. Of course, we have a holiday, we have certain holidays, but we go on vacation. And if you go to Australia, I had the opportunity to do that for work about 15 years ago, and they don't call two cars hitting each other an accident, they call it a smash. Or actually, they pronounce the A with an I, so they call it a smush. And it's funny to hear on the radio that two cars had a smash on the interstate, you know, this morning. So even language, even if it's English, it can be somewhat different. And then there's the culture, maybe the type of food that people eat in another country that are different than the types of food that we eat. When we went to Peru on a mission trip a number of years ago with our church, when we went outside of Lima into this area where we built this medical facility, the local people fed us lunch every day. And every day we had chicken and rice. And for variety, some days we had rice and chicken. But, you know, the last day that we were there, we had to fly back to Lima and then Lima to Newark. We had dinner one day in a Hard Rock Cafe, and everybody was saying, "Oh, it's good to have some American food again." See, we weren't used to what they were eating every day. It's different. But also in the culture, the things that they value, the things that they consider to be right and wrong can be different than, let's say, in the United States. And so that may be a difference. And then there's the difference of custom. You know, again, if you go to the UK or Australia, they drive on the different side of the road than we do. And actually, when I come back from Australia, somebody asked me at work, what side of the road do they drive on Australia, in Australia? And I said, both sides of the road, just like we do. But of course, they drive on one side, we drive on the other side. And of course, the way people dress can be different. And people might bow instead of shaking hands, or hugging might be acceptable in one place and maybe not in another place. So those are some of the things that are different. Many times, like if you were to go through and walk in Manhattan or sit down maybe in one of those parks and observe people, you can probably tell that people are different by maybe the way that they speak, the way that they dress, or the way that they act. Well, what about as Christians living here in the United States or living in this world? What makes a Christian different from everybody else in this world? Well, I think the same three things. First of all, the language. You know, Christians should be speaking differently to other people and about other people. When we speak to people or about people, we should be saying things that will build people up, not tear people down. In fact, Jesus had something to say about the words that we speak. In Matthew 12, verses 36 through 37, he says, "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And then there's culture. You know, what people might consider to be okay to do in this world, and even in the United States, as Christians, based on God's word, we might consider them to be not the things that God wants us to do. And so what people consider to be right or wrong may be different than what we believe as Christians. In fact, Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12, he says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits." And then there's customs. You know, it's customary for us to come to church every Sunday morning. And a lot of people in this world, a lot of people in the United States, they don't do that. And that's a custom that makes us different, let's say, than the world. Or if you pray before meals, if you go to a restaurant and you bow in prayer before you eat, you'll probably feel somewhat different because the people around you aren't doing that. So the language, the culture, the customs that we see as Christians, that we do as Christians, should be different than the people around us, even here in the United States. And when I think about that, there's a couple of questions that come to mind. First of all, do I feel like I'm an alien in America? Do I feel like I'm a foreigner here in the United States or in this world? Do you feel like you're a foreigner in America? Do you feel different? Do you feel like you don't belong in this world? Or another question to ask is, how about when others look at you or when they look at me? Do they feel like you belong, like you're like everyone else? Or when they see you and how you act and how you speak and how you deal with other people, do they see that you are different than maybe the people around you? Where you share God's love with other people instead of getting back at other people? How do people see you and I? Do we belong here or are we looking for another place? You know, the heroes of faith we read here considered themselves, in verse 13, it says that they confessed that they were aliens and strangers here on this earth. In other words, they openly admitted that they didn't belong here. In Genesis 23, verse 4, Abraham says, "I am an alien and a stranger among you." And David, in Psalm 39, verse 12, says, "For I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger, as all my fathers were." How about you and I? Can we say like Abraham and David that I'm an alien here in the United States? I'm a stranger here in this world that I'm just passing through? Interesting question for us to ask ourselves. Well, the second word that I want to look at this morning is the word pilgrim. Now, pilgrim is defined in a number of ways in the Bible. One way that pilgrim is defined is that it's a person that goes on a long trip or journey to a holy or a sacred place or a shrine. The Israelites were considered pilgrims when several times a year they would go from their home to Jerusalem to the temple to worship God. And the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they considered their whole lives to be a pilgrimage. When Jacob met Pharaoh, when they went down to Egypt during the famine, it says in Genesis 47, verse 9, Jacob says to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers." In other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob considered themselves to just be passing through this world, that this wasn't the place that they were eventually going to be settling, that they were just pilgrims passing through. Well, a pilgrim, we also see, is one who is called from one place to another, and they're obedient to the call. Here in verse 8, we read, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Abraham was called out of this pagan place where his family lived to go to the land of Canaan, where God could then show himself as his God, and that God could bring him up, so to speak, as a believer in God, and to get out of that pagan country. And we have been called as Christians out of this dark world to live in the world of light that God gives us. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, Peter says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a wonderful light." And in Romans 8, verses 28 through 30, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So we have been called as Christians out of a life of sin, out of a life that is not based on love, and we're called into his light. We're called into a life of love that is like Jesus' love who gave himself up for us, who gave his life so that we might have life forever. And a pilgrim is one who is not only called to go from one place to the other, but they don't turn back. In verses 14 and 15, we read, people who say such things, and people who say that they're aliens and strangers on earth, it says, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Someone has paraphrased those verses like this: they did not take the opportunity that offered itself for their return. They might have had such an opportunity. They had time enough to return. They had a natural strength to return. They knew the way. Those with whom they sojourned would have been willing enough to part with them. Their old friends would have been glad to receive them. But they didn't. They didn't turn back. And when you think of our lives, maybe if you look back in your life, maybe there was a time in your life where you were kind of held as a slave to sin. And maybe there was a certain thing, something in your mind or something that you did that you knew was sinful, that was not something that God wanted you to do. And you've turned away from that. And as pilgrims, we don't turn back to those things. Maybe friends that would drag you down, maybe places that weren't places that you should go to, maybe things that you did. We don't turn back to those things as pilgrims, as we are heading through this land, as we're heading through this world, looking for a better country. So as pilgrims, we're just passing through. We're obedient to the call that God gives us to come out of a life of darkness into a life of his light, and that we don't turn back. Well, the third word that I'd like to focus on this morning is the word longing. We read here that they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Now, longing is defined in the dictionary as a strong desire for something, especially something unattainable. Now, when I first read that definition, I chuckled a little bit because these people were longing for heaven. And you know, heaven is unattainable, humanly speaking. If it weren't for the grace of God, if it weren't for the work and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we could not attain heaven, that heaven would not be available to us because of our sin. But because of the grace of God, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we can look forward to heaven. We can look forward to that better place. And so it is appropriate that these patriarchs, that these heroes of faith, that each one of us can be longing for heaven, because even though it is unattainable, humanly speaking, we can attain it through Jesus Christ. David talks about longing for heaven in Psalm 119, verses 81 and 82. He says, "My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me?" And Paul talks about longing for heaven as well. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, That is, if our bodies are destroyed in death, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. And Philippians 3, verses 18 through 21. For I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read also that all of creation longs for that day. Romans 8, verse 19 says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. And why is it so important? Why would these people be longing for heaven? Well, listen to what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 18. It says that, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So we may be going through a lot of struggles in this life, but they're not worth comparing to what we will experience in heaven. And the Bible tells us only a little bit about heaven, but what it tells us is that it's going to be such a wonderful place. In Revelation 21, it tells us that first of all, first and foremost, the best place or the best thing about heaven is that Jesus Christ is going to be there, that our Savior is going to be there, and that we will be with Him. And we will be with our loved ones who have died in the Lord. And it will be a beautiful place. Revelation 21 symbolizes it as having roads that are built of gold. And it's going to be a place where there's going to be no more pain, no more crying, no more death. And two things that people look for and long for in this life, and look in a number of different places, are security and rest. And heaven is going to be a place where we will have security and rest. And did you know that longing for heaven actually helps us in this life? First of all, it helps us to focus on the right things. In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And in Matthew 6, verses 19 and 21, Jesus says this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, longing for heaven helps us to focus on the end, on the prize that awaits us, and help us to focus on heavenly things, not on earthly things that are going to be destroyed, but on the things that will last. And hope, that longing for heaven helps us through the journey. You know, it's vacation time, and I don't know if you've ever found that the week or maybe a couple weeks before vacation, things maybe get a little bit busy, maybe at home or at work, or something comes up that I've got to get through this, you know, before I go on vacation. And I know that it's happened to me a lot at work, where it just seems like that week before vacation, everything seems to happen. But you know, I seem to be able to get through that week a lot easier than the rest of the year, because I know that when I get through that week, next week I'm going to be on the beach, I'm going to be at the lake, I'm going to be reading my favorite book, whatever. I'm going to be on vacation. I'm looking forward to that so I can get through this difficult week. And you know, I think longing for heaven is a lot like that. That even though we have struggles in this life and we go through difficult times, that when we focus our eyes on heaven, and we realize that someday we're going to be with Jesus, someday we're going to be in that such beautiful place, that helps us to get through this life and through the struggles of this life. And you know, when we're longing for heaven, the Bible says that God is pleased with us. In verse 16, it says, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. In a couple of weeks, sooner than we realize, sooner than we want to think, we're going to be celebrating Labor Day, the end of summer, so to speak, even though there's a couple of weeks more on the calendar. But we're going to be celebrating that. And when we celebrate that, once again, as we did on Memorial Day and 4th of July, we're going to be celebrating America, thanking God for the fact that He has placed us here in this country and all the good things that we have here. But for the grace of God, we could be living in a country where they don't have enough food, where they don't have safe water to drink, where they don't have jobs to keep us busy and to help us to maintain our lives. But as we do that, and any time that we celebrate America, think of the fact that this is not our ultimate homeland, that this is not where we belong, so to speak. In Ephesians 2, verse 19, Paul says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." You see, we're aliens in America. We're strangers, we're foreigners on this earth. And that means that we're just traveling through. We're not looking to get settled, so to speak, that we want to be here forever, but we're just passing through. And Peter says in 2 Peter 3, verses 13 and 14, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." You know, someone might say to you that if you are so heavenly minded, you're going to be of no earthly good. And I would argue, based on the Bible, that if we are so heavenly minded, we would be of more earthly good than we are and than most people are. And the reason why I say that is because if you think of all the things that we've been talking about this morning, and then Peter kind of sums it up here and says, since you're looking forward to this better place, he says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Now think about it. If every one of us here were spotless and blameless, that we were as good as the Bible calls us to be, how much of a better place would this be? That we would have unconditional love for each other. Think of how different our families would be. Think of how different this world would be if we were all longing for heaven like the Bible calls us to do. Think about that. If we were longing, really, truly longing for heaven, we would really have heaven on earth, so to speak. Well, may it be said of us that we do not belong to this world, but instead we would be longing for a better place, a heavenly one. And may our longing for heaven make a difference in the way we live while we're here on this earth. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for placing us here in this beautiful country. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. We thank you for the beauty around us. We thank you for all the opportunities that we have as Americans. But Lord, help us never to forget that this is not our home, that our home is in heaven with you. And we look forward to that day when you will take us home, when we will be with you forever, and we will have that security and that rest and that peace that we could never find here on this earth. Lord, help us to be truly longing for heaven, and help us in our longing that we would make a difference in the way we live here on earth, and that people would see that we are different, different in a good way, different that we love other people, different that we care for other people, different in that we share the good things that you have given with us so that others may have what they need. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.